What does the Bible say about sex? Specifically, oral sex? One of the most common inquiries comes from a 28-year-old Christian woman named Sarah, who has been married for a few years and has a child. Sarah mentioned that her sexual relationship with her husband was quite adventurous early on. However, after giving birth, her husband stopped engaging in certain activities they once enjoyed, like oral sex. Sarah misses his touch and wonders if asking for these things is sinful. Her husband, now more devout, believes that certain acts might displease God. Sarah asked, "Is it a sin to want my husband to get down on me?" Another viewer asked, "How can I persuade my partner to have oral sex with me, knowing we are both devout Christians?" Being a Christian often means facing intricate questions and challenges, especially when it comes to sex and relationships. The Bible doesn't always provide explicit guidance on these matters, leaving many feeling uncertain and conflicted. Through this series, I aim to address these tough questions and offer clarity and support. With that said, let's get into today's question. What does the Bible say about oral sex? The Song of Solomon. Is oral sex mentioned in the Bible? The Bible does not explicitly mention or describe oral sex. While the scriptures remain silent on this specific act, some commentators, counselors, and pastors argue that certain passages in the Song of Solomon might imply it. The Song of Solomon is a love story that celebrates the union between Solomon and his bride. I firmly oppose the interpretation of this text as an allegory for Christ and the church. Solomon's use of highly metaphorical language illustrates the joys of marital intimacy. Any thorough examination of this book must approach the text with caution. The metaphors collectively depict the beauty of the sexual relationship between Solomon and his bride. Interpreting individual elements too literally can distort the intended message. John MacArthur offers insight into the nature of these metaphors, of course. But sometimes a metaphor is also a euphemism, and that is clearly the case with some of the disputed imagery in Song of Solomon. There is no exegetically way to decide what the various jewels, flowers, scents, oils, and other sensual pleasures named in the poem represent in the author's mind. He purposely leaves them vague. The symbols are therefore not necessarily meant to have any one-to-one relationship with corresponding realities. Rather, they are general emblems of beauty and desire. Solomon uses the symbolism instead of saying anything explicit, which, by definition, makes these metaphors euphemistic, too. The Song of Solomon is deliberately veiled in poetic euphemisms that are beautiful by any measure. Some of the imagery is fairly obvious, some highly debatable. In many places, the meaning is indistinct enough to permit a great deal of hermeneutical imagination, and wisdom would seem to teach that here, especially here, it is best for the preacher not to be a lot more explicit than the Holy Spirit was. The verses often cited as implying oral sex include Song of Solomon 2:3, 4:16, 5:1, and 7:6-8. Interpreting these passages requires careful consideration. They may suggest oral sex in a veiled manner, respecting the privacy of Solomon and his bride. It is crucial to note that the text does not prescribe oral sex. Pastors like Mark Driscoll have inaccurately presented such interpretations. Instead, the emphasis should be on the privacy and intimacy within the marriage bed, as depicted through Solomon and his bride's relationship. Required or prohibited? Is oral sex permissible? This method is invaluable for discerning the morality and wisdom of various aspects of life. Using the same technique, we can guide couples in discerning the morality and wisdom of different sexual activities. These questions serve as a compass, helping to determine whether a specific act, such as oral sex, is sinful, unwise, or permissible within the context of marriage. Let's revisit these questions and see how they can illuminate our understanding of oral sex within the sacred bond of marriage. Question 1. Required or prohibited in the Bible? The Bible, as a foundational text for Christians, offers explicit guidance on a wide range of moral and ethical issues. It serves as a comprehensive resource for understanding God's will and expectations for human behavior. However, when it comes to the topic of oral sex, the Bible remains silent, providing no direct references or specific instructions. As followers of Christ, it is essential to exercise discernment and caution in interpreting biblical teachings. We must avoid hastily labeling any practice as sinful without clear, unambiguous evidence from Scripture. This principle is crucial because adding prohibitions not found in the Bible can lead to legalism, which detracts from the essence of Christian freedom and grace. Conversely, it is equally important not to declare a practice permissible if the Bible condemns it, as doing so would undermine the authority and integrity of Scripture. In the case of oral sex, the absence of explicit biblical references means that we cannot definitively categorize it as sinful. The silence of Scripture on this matter leaves room for personal conscience and discernment, guided by broader biblical principles such as love, respect, and mutual consent within the context of marriage. Therefore, we can conclude that, based on the lack of specific scriptural condemnation or endorsement, oral sex is neither required nor prohibited for Christians. It is a matter that should be approached with thoughtful consideration, prayer, and respect for one's partner, always seeking to honor God in every aspect of the marital relationship. Unnatural. Question 2. Is it unnatural? There is a lack of physiological evidence suggesting that oral sex is unnatural for a husband and wife. In fact, the Bible contains passages that celebrate the natural delight and desire shared between spouses, even when those desires might seem unconventional to some. Proverbs 5 verse 19, for instance, encourages husbands to be satisfied with their wives' love, using language that speaks to the enjoyment and pleasure found in marital intimacy. Similarly, the Song of Solomon is replete with vivid and poetic descriptions of romantic and physical affection between lovers. Specifically, Song of Solomon 7 verses 7 to 8 speaks of the beauty and allure of the beloved, evoking images that celebrate the sensual and erotic aspects of love. These scriptures offer the idea that the pleasures of marital love are to be enjoyed and cherished. John Piper, a respected theologian, has interpreted these verses to support the notion that a variety of sexual activities, including oral sex, can be understood as natural expressions of love and pleasure within the confines of marriage. Piper's interpretation aligns with the broader biblical theme of marital intimacy being a gift from God, meant to be enjoyed fully and without shame by husband and wife. Therefore, the notion that oral sex is unnatural does not hold up against either physiological evidence or a thoughtful, contextual reading of biblical texts. Unhealthy. Question 3. Is it unhealthy, or could it cause harm? Health concerns are a valid and essential consideration when engaging in any form of sexual activity. Oral sex, while often perceived as a lower-risk alternative to other forms of sexual intercourse, can still pose significant health risks, particularly in the presence of sexually transmitted diseases such as STDs. For instance, the human papillomavirus, HPV, is a notable concern, as it has been linked to the development of mouth and throat cancers. This highlights the importance of awareness and prevention when it comes to STDs. However, within the context of a committed, monogamous marriage where both partners have been tested and are free of STDs, these health risks are considerably minimized. Trust and mutual understanding in such relationships can create a safer and more comfortable environment for exploring intimacy. It is always advisable for partners to communicate openly about their health status and take appropriate measures to ensure their mutual well-being, thereby fostering a healthy and fulfilling sexual relationship. Unkind. Question 4. Is it unkind or unloving? Kindness and love are foundational to a healthy sexual relationship. Forcing a spouse to engage in any sexual activity against their will is unkind and unloving. However, if both partners willingly and enthusiastically participate, oral sex can be an expression of love and mutual pleasure. Against conscience. Question 5. Is it against the conscience of the spouse? A person's conscience plays a significant role in determining the appropriateness of any action. If one spouse feels uncomfortable or morally conflicted about oral sex, their feelings should be respected. Pressuring a spouse to go against their conscience can lead to guilt and sin, according to Romans 14 verses 19 to 23. Motives. Question 6. Is your motive? Motives are crucial in every facet of life, and this is especially true when it comes to sexual activity. The desire for oral sex, like all expressions of intimacy, should be rooted in love and a genuine desire to deepen the marital bond. It should serve as an extension of affection and mutual respect between spouses, enhancing their connection. When motivated by selflessness and a sincere wish to nurture the relationship, such acts align with godly principles. Conversely, seeking oral sex out of selfishness, mere lust, or influenced by external factors like pornography, can undermine the sanctity of the marital relationship. These motives may lead to exploitation rather than mutual fulfillment, straying from the principles of love and respect that are central to a godly union. Take a moment to check out the two videos displayed on the screen. I encourage you to dive in and engage with them. Remember, the journey of learning never ends. Thank you for watching, and may God bless you. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have an abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comment section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comment section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.